Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
Dennis Prout is in from Prout Financial Design for New Retirement Radio, certified financial planner with a portion of the staff along with you today. Welcome back, sir.
Indeed, it's great to be here. Thank you, Ron. On April 25, 2019, Thursday, if you happen to be listening to the rebroadcast on Saturday, it is a rebroadcast. Although I did have a client say the other day, you know, Dennis, you just sound better on Saturdays. I said, really? He said, obviously you've had time to practice. I said, yes, indeed.
That's funny.
It makes a difference. You know. So, hey. So we're going to be talking about financial basics today, and we have joining us Heidi Thompson.
Good morning.
Hello, Heidi.
And Shay Pataj.
Hello, Shay.
Hello.
It's great to have them both with us. Man, what a week it's been. Last week, Easter. Today, speaking current, insane weather. I was thinking as I walked in, you know, we should just do the show outside. Do the show outside.
In the sun.
Get the Prout, pull that Prout yacht out.
You know, yeah.
The Prout yacht.
Mm-hmm. The 22-foot, you know, boat, but yeah. Whatever.
What, do you have a boat? Do you have a name for it? Is it called like...
Yeah, what's the name
no,
of it?
No, we didn't name it.
My Retirement.
It's well. Called... Oh. It should be called My Grandchildren. That's what we got it for.
For the kids.
Drag them along with us. Exactly. Yeah. So today, financial planning basics. And the financial planning is different than investment planning. Financial planning is certainly not as exciting as investment planning. Obviously, the market can be crazy sometimes. Can't it?
Yes, it can.
But financial planning is much more a bigger picture piece. The bigger picture. What do I need to deal with now? What are the risks that I have now? Got together with a couple of 2 days ago. And I said almost nonchalantly, so they were so very much planners. So you have got a will because they have two children. No, we don't. We need to take care of that. Wow, okay. So why? It's the guardians. You name your guardians in the will for your children instead of the probate court having to do that. Gee, Dennis, do you have to go right into this right away?
No.
I don't know. You know, it's the current risks, truly, in the financial planning spectrum. Insurances, what are the risks that you have there? Now, we call this financial planning basics, but it can be good for someone at 27 all the way through 77. Now, if you're 87, just forget the whole thing, okay? Just keep teasing, of course. But,
just have fun. Spend it.
Oh, my gosh.
There's Shay's financial planning advice.
We're seeing more and more older clients, more and more activity, if you will. Shay took the rabbit trail. I'm going to run with it. Interesting client said to me, you know, I was talking to my doctor the other day, and the doctor said unequivocally, those who are remaining active and or can remain active are dynamically better off in their mid-80s, late 80s, because of that activity. What a huge difference that makes.
Are you talking about physically or socially?
Physically, yes.
Okay, both.
And I would say socially as well.
I'd say socially seems to be...
The importance of community.
Keep your brainwave muscle. Exercise your brain.
Mm-hmm. In Traverse City, speaking of radical, Traverse City, we had lunch yesterday with a couple of people from the Pace Group, and we were sitting over at Harrington's, and I looked out over the bay, and it's amazing to me what's happening in Traverse City. Now, obviously, it's not all good, but the growth and the intensity, the originality, the entrepreneurial energy that's going on in Traverse City. It's exciting to be here. I think this sun has kind of impacted me, too. It's nice to have a little of that.
We're feeling
us.
Really positive about everything.
I guess so. You bet. So the financial planning realm. First off, what are the risks that I have now that I haven't covered? Whether it's a will, durable powers of attorney, whether it's, am I insured properly? Have I insured my income? That sort of thing. Investment planning, much more about the 401k, saving on an ongoing basis. Now, one thing that none of these articles discuss, and I'll climb over the table on this one with enthusiasm because it's critically important. Ben Franklin said, the man, now this is back in the day when they had purses, so go with me here. Well, the man.
Men have purses today.
Do they really?
Yeah. Don't they shave?
I know one.
Merses?
Actually, two men that carry them with confidence, and I commend them for that because purses are awesome. I didn't actually feel like I became a real adult until now. You see what you did here? I didn't feel like I became a real adult until I had a purse. It was like, oh, I got to carry everything like a Mary Poppins bag. Anyways,
I see,
you know you've crossed over.
Like
into
my wife
adulthood.
Is one of those women who has a purse and a gym bag and then an all-purpose bag and then a little bag and it looks like she's leaving town every morning.
Yeah, except for when you need something, you go ask
computer
her,
bag.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So reminds me of being in college. I mean, that backpack, I swore I must have weighed 30 pounds, every book on the planet. That's just my science tone.
You do see more professionals carrying backpacks, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I will say that.
Still, huh?
That is on the rise.
That goes back
trends,
a few years.
Just
too.
In case you wanted to know. Mm-hmm. All right, back to
back
you,
to Ben.
I forgot the subject completely.
Ben Franklin.
Honestly. Oh, yes. Thank you. Jeez. Ben Franklin said, the man, and we can say today, or woman, who pours their purse into their head makes the very best investment. Into their head, baby. Why am I so enthusiastic about that? Because you won't get a return anything like what you put into your head.
Your own education, meaning
information.
Education,
furthering yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Vis-a-vis Heidi joining the Ed Slott program, being a master elite advisor.
All right, Heidi.
Not easy stuff. Shay, going to a conference last 2 days,
mm-hmm.
texted at the end of the first day, boy, this is really tough. Challenged you.
It was challenging. I went to the Utopia Foundation sponsored the Search Inside Yourself, the Google program for mindfulness and emotional intelligence within the workplace. And the first day I was like exhausted. I was like, I feel like I'm pretty good at this mindfulness stuff. But it was a lot of information and it was 2 days. So it was really cool.
I got a real estate license.
There
go
you
Ron.
Go.
See?
That's so awesome.
But just expanding that knowledge base there.
Speaking of the Utopia Foundation,
yes.
The one who was most outspoken about this when I started my career was Paul Sutherland. He said, Dennis, don't be nearly so concerned about investing as pouring money back into your own head. The education that you complete on your own is the best. And I was thinking, best investment you can make. So what if it was $2,000 for that trip you had to take to get away to think about it and to really learn from those people who perhaps have a different worldview than you and or have more knowledge than you do in a specific area? Oh, that's a lot of money to spend. Yeah, $2,000. Wow. Hmm. Well, okay, you could invest it somewhere else. Well, how do I know that I'll get the return? Well, okay, what if you made as a result, just going down that road, $10,000 more in the following year, given your $2,000 investment? Well, I don't know that I'll make that. Well, is it an intelligent amount that you could possibly make? Oh, I don't know. I could make 10 more. What if it's 4 more? Okay. Well, you just doubled your money.
Mm-hmm.
Name an investment where you can double your money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know that I can double. Well, how are the chances for that? They're pretty good, actually. Yeah. Okay. Well, see where that can go?
Jeopardy.
There you are.
Jeopardy?
You doubled your money.
You just fell into Shay's
Oh, you
trap
fell into my
there.
The next rabbit trail.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he
go ahead, hit it.
He is at over 1.1 million in earnings. That's James. I don't watch
Holzhauer, I think it
Holzhauer.
Is.
Holzhauer. Okay, thank you. I don't watch TV, which is bad, I guess, for something like this. But I do follow the news, just to be clear. He's got a really interesting strategy. It's aggressive. He seeks out the high-value questions first, and when he finds a daily double, which allows contestants to bet as much of their winnings as they like, he bets big. So he does this for a living. He's a sports bettor from Las Vegas, but as everyone knows.
A lot of his bets are not like 10,000 or 5,000 even. They're like 11,175, and those are birth dates of nephews, nieces.
I love
people.
That so much.
He just, you know. But yeah, most people go vertical. They go, I'll take financial planning for 200, then 400, then 6. And he goes down to the bottom and says, I'll take financial planning for 1,000. On to the next category. I'll take cars for 1,000. He goes right across horizontally the bottom of the board and gets all the $1,000 questions.
Wow.
And so by the time the people playing against him realize what's going on, he has $6,000 or $7,000. You know?
He's blistered them.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
Obviously, he's pretty smart, too, because he's getting the answers right.
Yep. Machine.
He's got everybody talking about it, even us on New Retirement Radio.
Actually, Shay mentioned that, and I said, that's a common Warren Buffett thing. I mean, he would be certain about an investment, but make very big investments specific to that. And, in fact, he's kind of, you know, been, I don't know how to say it, he's been kind of mournful, if you will. He's so big, he can't make those smaller investments. He's just too big to do that, given the funds, and he can't take those riskier investments that might really improve their returns beyond what he normally could have done otherwise.
That's too bad.
Feel bad for him, don't you, Ron?
I do.
Can tell.
Yeah.
All right, financial planning. First part is budgeting, which I hate that word. I would prefer
terrible
to call
word.
It spending plan.
Sure.
Spending plan. What's a spending plan? Budgeting to me sounds more painful, but the other side of it is we know what's coming in and going out. What is going out? Dear, how can we save some more money? Perhaps. A great thing to start with. Is it as detailed as it needs to be? Now, obviously, there are different personalities in the audience here today. But you need to have some detail in regards to what are my expenses so that you can know, how you're doing there and if you have space to save for the long term. Some would say it's too late to save. Given the stat Shay was listing earlier before the show on the baby boomer set, what was that number?
Yeah, I can read it right now. Yeah. So here's a Shay stat for you. 45% of the 76 million baby boomers in the USA have no retirement savings. Baby boomers were born between 1946 and 1964. The oldest boomers turned 65 years old in 2011. Boomers reaching age 65 in 2019 represent the ninth year of 19 years of baby boomers. And the source for that is the Insured Retirement Institute. 46% of 76 million baby boomers do not have retirement savings.
Can you even imagine that? Oh, the freedom. Now, it's never too late at the same time, I would say, to start saving. Doesn't matter where you're at. Many look too short term, if you will, when they're thinking about saving. Well, I'm 45. Oh, my gosh, it's too late. Well, it is too late if you don't start.
It's too late if you don't start.
Well,
there
10
you go.
Years from now, I'll be 55. Okay. You know, just to use some of those arguments. Will you be 55 regardless? Yes. Okay. So why not start, if at all possible, now? Perhaps a part of it is, again, taking a look at your career and how do you increase the value of that career and of what you can bring the most, then consider saving in a 401k or other kind of retirement plan. For instance, well, that might work. I get a 3% match for what I put in. So if you put in 3%, your employer, thank you. the person in the employment of you puts in 3%, let's say. Yet that return, therefore, is 100%. Pretty tough to match that rate of return, especially because you're doing that as well as placing the money in on a monthly basis. So what are you spending? Is there space? And how do you create that space? Should you pay down debt first? In many cases, yes, especially with credit card debt at 18 to 19%. So take a look at the big picture in terms of the spending plan and what space do I have. Lots of great information on snowballing debt, is a, for instance, as a part of that spending plan. Taking the lowest amount that you have in that debt first, adding the sum that you can afford each month, $50 to $100, to that sum itself. Then when that's paid off, celebrate. Celebrate. Then next, take that amount that you were paying on that debt. Let's say it was $150 total. Place it on the next highest amount. Setting aside, generally setting aside the interest rate. That's a snowballing. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how powerful that is. You can shorten the period of paying those off significantly in terms of real debt.
A good idea.
Yes. Next, cutting expenses.
Ah, yes.
How can you do that? Unnecessary subscription services, recurring membership, just to list a few.
Coffee.
What would those be? Coffee. I don't know what I think about missing out on the mocha for morsels. So that would be very painful.
That could be very painful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You could bring your lunch every day.
You could bring your lunch.
Bring your lunch.
There's all kinds of ways to do that. Bring your lunch. Save $10, you know, whatever it might be.
That's $50 a week.
Yeah, lunch is, if you eat out, lunch is getting a lot more expensive. Coffee is, if you get the fancy stuff like Dennis here, it's like, what, $4 a cup maybe?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Get fancy mocha.
Fancy
pants mocha.
If you like eating out, though, fancy pants mocha, I'm going to actually ask him to change the name to that.
Chocolate's always more expensive, isn't it?
I'm going to just get, I'm single, as we all know, but here's one of my, I think we've announced that 1,000 times. Moving on. I like to eat out because I like to be on the go. I don't want to go home and like cook for myself for an hour and then eat for 15 minutes and then clean up for a half hour. I'm not into it. So I like to go to like Edson Farms Oriana and then I get a nice lunch and then half of it is my dinner. And then I just keep the staple items at home.
Well, you could be stuffing all of that into your IRA account, though.
But here's the deal. I've worked this out. I've tried both things. I experimented for like a month each of buying groceries the whole time or eating out the whole time. Both are a terrible idea. It's like, for me, it's a hybrid. I think a lot of people that end up, their kids leave the house, they're like, well, we don't want to all that work for the two of us, like that HelloFresh and the other services that... They've also found that that's a really good savings technique for people who are busybodies.
You could stop eating. That would save a lot of money right there.
Also, then I could lose weight, but I'm not into that.
Oh, looking at financial basics, your spending plan, now cutting expenses. But before we go on, shall we take a phone call?
Yes.
Dennis Prout and company are in. New Retirement Radio, WTCM from Kingsley. Drew is on. Good morning, Drew.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Good.
My question has to do with life insurance, whole life insurance, regarding putting whole life insurance on your children. Now, my parents put a $500,000 policy on me when I was like 3. I'm 47 now, and it has a lot of cash value, and I'm wondering how you guys feel about that. I have 3 kids of my own between the ages of 6 and 13, and I just don't know how I feel about putting life insurance on them, but I guess it's something that I should probably do. Now, the policies I'm looking at, I won't go into companies or whatever, I would pay quite a high premium for about 12 years, but after that 12 years, my premiums would be done, and they'd have life insurance for the rest of their lives. I was wondering how you guys feel about that as far as planning in the future. I think that should include your children, and I'll listen off the phone to what you have to say.
All right, Drew. Boy, what a gift your parents gave to you in buying that life insurance policy. Frankly, I think, you know, it's money spent. It's money spent, and it's a more permanent kind of a situation. The major reason to possibly consider purchasing that type of coverage is for the guaranteed insurability that it provides. Guaranteed insurability, because it doesn't matter what your children's health then becomes if you bought them that policy. They don't have to worry about that because they're already insured. That would be the possible reason to consider that. Now, to, you know, make it personal, I never purchased those kinds of coverages on the children. It was more about the college saving that we tried to accomplish for our children. I would say to try to create a balance there, I wouldn't put all the eggs in that basket for sure. And I would continue to try to save on a monthly basis if there is some for their education. Now, you can do a Roth IRA, use a Roth IRA to do that, and or a 529 plan, which Heidi is going to talk about. Oh, my gosh, that's right. Heidi is going to be talking about life insurance versus the Roth IRA. And that is her topic du jour for the day. Why don't we just do that right now? You're ready to roll. Let's do that, Heidi.
Okay. Well, my helpful hints for this week, we're taking a look at legacies. And any legacy is a gift. And we should all be grateful when we receive one. But today we're going to talk about a tax-free legacy and how that can happen. And, of course, everyone, that would be their favorite because who likes to pay taxes? So tax-free legacy. And we're going to look at two products, life insurance versus Roth IRAs.
Hang on just a moment. That call was not cued. I find this hilarious that this is Heidi's main topic. And here this Drew called in. Thank you, Drew. Anyway. So go for it, Heidi.
And just so everybody knows that Dennis and I both have our insurance licenses as part of our credentials of being financial advisors. So just thought I'd let people know that. So let's look at these two products, the Roth IRA and the life insurance. Roth IRAs are always included in your estate. So when you're planning a legacy, this is something to keep in mind. Now, the exemption at the federal level for your estate is very large. It's $11.4 million. So a lot of people this will not apply to. But you could inherit a business or you could inherit some property or something that puts you near that level unexpectedly, or you may get there. So a life insurance can be structured so that it is outside of your estate. And the point here is that Roth IRAs are always part of your estate. So if you're near that limit or when you're planning, you might want to take a look at life insurance to not hit that exemption amount. The second point, there's a limit to the amount you can contribute to a Roth IRA. So Roth IRAs, you can put in $6,000 in 2019. Or if you're over 50, you can put in $7,000 a year. Whereas life insurance, you pay a premium for a certain value, death benefit value. So you are limited in the Roth, and you have to build up over time. Also, another thing to remember with Roth IRAs, they're different than life insurance, that there are income limits. If you are over certain income limits, you cannot qualify for a Roth IRA. You cannot contribute to one. And also, you have to have earned income. With life insurance, you can pay for your premiums out of dividends, Social Security, or interest. All of those are not considered earned income. So if you don't have W-2 income, life insurance could be an option. You just have that restriction with the Roth IRA. So as you can see, as we're going through these hints, there's a complexity when you're making these decisions. And just looking at the surface, one may see better than the other, but you have to drill down.
Absolutely, and I would agree. They're meant for very different purposes. Life insurance, in my mind, key and component, most important is, do I need an immediate lump sum, or do those who love, that I love, need an immediate lump sum? Primarily, in my mind, that's what life insurance is for. Are you trying to replace an income? Are you trying to help create cash in an estate because of illiquidity, because of the assets that you already own? In terms of savings vehicles, it's interesting to compare them. But in terms of death benefits, obviously very different between the two.
Correct. So my third point between these two investments is there are no RMDs with life insurance.
Required minimum distributions.
Yes. Correct. And we've talked about that a lot on the show here, the required minimum distributions. But if you are a non-spouse beneficiary and you inherit a Roth IRA, no matter what age you are, you have to take those RMDs. Life insurance doesn't have any of those. But let's look at another piece. that may make you think a little bit more about the Roth because, hey, I don't want to be troubled with RMDs, so I'll just do life insurance, maybe you're thinking. But life insurance, you're going to receive that in a one sum, and you're only going to get the death benefit that's limited to that. With the Roth IRA, even though you may be taking RMDs, a small amount every year, that fund can continue to grow, and it will continue to grow tax-exempt. So if you inherit a base amount, you can keep that going. And that's when we talk about that stretch IRA provision. It can continue on, and maybe that initial amount, maybe it's $100,000, maybe over time, over 20, 30 years, you've received much more than that by stretching it out. Whereas life insurance, you're just getting that one amount.
Required minimum distributions are required on inherited Roth IRAs only. As a non-spouse beneficiary,
correct,
which would generally be children.
Okay, mm-hmm. And just one final thought to remember: not everybody's going to qualify for life insurance. You know, you may have a health issue or something, and you may not be able to get life insurance. So that would be a time when maybe you could look at a Roth IRA instead.
What access do insurance companies have to your health status when they determine if you're if you qualify or not?
Well,
what kind of questions do they ask, or can they ask?
They ask the most detailed questions you can possibly imagine, and they have access to computer systems that give them the health history. When you've allowed them to do that, your whole health history is right there, yes, so for them.
Doesn't HIPAA law apply to some of that?
It doesn't if the potential insured is given release of that information to the insurance company.
Hmm.
In order to be insured, you have to release it.
So they have to, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And they'll also sometimes request the information from your doctor as well.
Wow.
How are you feeling today, Dennis?
Well, I know when I got my policy, I had to go in and take a blood test.
Yeah.
I mean, at the behest of the insurance company. So they do
right.
that as well. And just to remind everybody that everybody's situation is different, so not one size fits all. So just because you hear or your friend's doing it one way, it may not be best for your situation, and that's where you draw those professionals in, your tax expert, your financial advisor, or your attorney, and they can all work together to get the best solution for you.
Huge. In terms of diversification, where can these products best be suited? My gosh, you may consider a 10-year term policy. For instance, you're a farm owner. You need significant face value in case something should happen to you to help your spouse, in this case, have the liquidity that he or she needs to carry on and or the children as well. So what is the primary use of that coverage, first of all, and does that make sense? How do we get that done? So very different needs sometimes for the life insurance, but in some cases can be a great, life insurance can be a great accumulation vehicle too. Never does one size fit all, and don't place in general any of these investments as the pinnacle. Each of them have their positives and negatives. So having a full view of these things, their positives and negatives, and seriously, can you hear the negatives? That's important as any purchaser of any product should be able to hear. That would mean then if you can't hear negatives about this thing, that you better be aware of yourself and have some other people with you in that case. Because that's a balanced approach to be able to hear the negative in talking or discussing any of these possible ways that you might pursue. And we have a disclosure there.
For Sweetie Firm is Heidi. Securities
yes.
offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member of FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, CAS, a registered investment advisor.
Next, in terms of financial planning, what's my risk tolerance when I'm thinking of investment planning? What is my risk tolerance? Am I okay with the account losing 10%? Well, I don't know. What's that like? So understanding where your risk tolerance is a huge part of this. In fact, we actually have a risk tolerance questionnaire that we go through clients with. A great thing to practice yourself, even in terms of your own 401k. Make certain that you're trying to gauge your risk tolerance and take advantage of those individual funds within your 401k or your IRA. wherever that's at. Many discount the value of using the best people over time. What are some of the rankings of those funds that you possibly have? We include that in terms of recommendations for clients on a continuing basis when they've got 401ks elsewhere. Oh, you'll actually recommend on that? Absolutely, we do. Because it is part of the picture for you. Okay?
Yeah.
It's key. It's amazing how what a difference you can make in historic performance and in controlling risk given appropriate diversification. Do I hear any?
I'm all in. Is that one of the categories?
Yes. Indeed.
What's your risk tolerance? All in.
What is my risk tolerance? What is my risk tolerance? And then, how can I, in terms of saving and investing, adjusting, where are the key places I can add the most value to our long-term retirement, to our long-term financial well-being? What might it be?
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.